go. Good morning. Welcome to the Cattle Industry Summer Conference. My name is Kim Cook, and I'm the new Vice President of Communications for NCBA. This is my fourth week on the job and my first summer conference. But I have worked in the ag industry, just to give you a little background, for over 20 years, working with an advertising public relations agency in the northwestern suburbs of Chicago. I will be relocating my family to the D.C. area, so we've got a lot of changes ahead of us. And that's really what's going to happen with the industry this week, talking about changes, talking about a lot of issues facing the industry. I'm keenly interested in the opportunities I'm going to have personally to participate in these discussions and talk about some of these very important issues and the impact that they have, or the potential impact, on the future of the beef industry. It is unfortunate that in recent weeks that some of the inside industry politics have overshadowed these critical issues that we're talking about this week. Today we want to clear the path forward by addressing the Independent Accountants Report, CBB's executive summary, and answer questions you might have regarding the audit, plus any of these critical issues. I would encourage you to check the media availabilities for 11 o'clock today, as well as with other individuals throughout this week, to make sure that we are having a chance to discuss these issues, as well as talk about this audit. Joining me today is Steve Fogelsong, president of NCBA and a cattle producer from Illinois, and Forrest Roberts, who has served as NCBA's CEO since January 2009. Forrest grew up on a family-owned, diversified livestock operation in Uvalde, Texas, and prior to joining NCBA, he worked in the animal health industry. And finally, we have Scott George, who's the chairman of the Federation of the State Beef Councils and a second-generation dairy farmer from Wyoming. With that, I'm going to turn the discussion over to Steve.
Good morning. Thanks for getting up. I would have assumed that being as it was an early morning that there would be coffee and donuts. I don't see any. One of you will be taking me to breakfast for an in-depth person-to-person interview when we get done here after a bit. So step right up to that. It might be you, Evan, I suspect. So thanks for joining us this morning. I am Steve Fogelsong. I'm the president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and I'm a ranch and feedlot owner from Illinois. You know, the last time we got together was in San Antone, where we had our meeting there last winter. And we're going to start this with a quiz for those of you in the media. What was the one takeaway with the biggest deal that we had there? What did we bring out of that deal? Anybody got the answer? Very good. You can take me to breakfast. The governance structure is what we came out of there. Of all the industry issues, that's the one that highlighted, and that's the one that we've been focused on, you know, since we got through there. But, I mean, there's a host of other things. And I think, you know, in the spirit of maybe let's focus on some of those other industry issues this week, I thought we maybe ought to get together and get this deal out of the way. That governance structure thing really kind of tossed everything into a turmoil. We spent weeks and weeks buzzing around, arguing with each other. Here's what it reminded me of. And those of you that are ranchers understand this. It's kind of like taking a trailer load of yearling Angus bulls out to a pasture full of heifers. I mean, this should be the deal. And you open the gate, and what happens? Them stupid bulls all run over in the corner and fight with each other. There's work to be done. But we lose our focus there for a while, and sometimes we are guilty of doing that. I want to tell you a little story here. This is more for me than you, because after I tell a story, then I can talk a little easier. But I was home last week. You know, we've kind of been doing all this governance task force stuff, and you know, we kind of put a stop to it here about three, 4 weeks ago. We said, okay, we're going to take time out. We're going to back away from this. We've got all kinds of energy in the industry that's going on. We need to back out of this and just let's cool things off. We have got to get back focused on what it is we've got to do for this industry. We've got tons of stuff going on in Washington, D.C. We've got beef that needs to be moved. We've got to work at getting that beef demand straightened out, and we need to get away from this for a minute. Cool off. Let's have a look-see. So we did that, and I'll tell you what, it's been refreshing. I went home to the ranch. Last week, we spent all week, because I knew I was going to be gone this week. We branded two or three bunches of calves, got that all caught up. Everything's going along really good. And my wife left me, and I want to She, not over this. My wife picked up her parents and drove them to Wyoming, where my brother and sister-in-law live up here. So I was home. I was batching it at home. I'm sitting around there over the weekend, you know, and Sunday morning I got up and ran out to the ranch, and every Sunday morning I do the same thing. I've got a route that I run. I go around the ranch and I check to see where the drunks have drove through the fence. I got three or four hot spots that it happens, because there's two little towns and you can't drive on the highway because you get caught. So all the drunks go through the fence. I got to fix it up. So I did that, and then I went to church because I wanted to be focused and centered properly for this week. And then I got home. I thought, well, I can either go sit in a Barca lounger and take a nap, which sounded pretty good, or I jumped in my pickup truck. So that's what I did. I jumped my pickup truck and took off for Denver Sunday afternoon. I'm going to drive by myself. It's 1,100 miles by the route that I'm going to take. And I decided once I got in the truck, I am not going to drive on the interstate. So, I mean, it takes a little longer to do it that way. But I wanted to see communities in cow towns and places where folks do what I do for a living all the way out here so I could remember why I was coming. It took me 2 days. But I didn't. The only piece of interstate that I hit was between Omaha and Grand Island, because I couldn't find another road. And I stayed in Grand Island, then I cut up through the sand hills and spent a day going through little towns. I got 66 people in it, you know, and cruising along. And when I got to when I got to Alliance, you know, and I was just sitting at the gas station. This is a really interesting part of this whole story, and it is a big diatribe. But I'm sitting there putting gas in and talking to a kid that worked for Burlington Northern, and because I didn't know, in Alliance, you've got to make a decision. If you're going to Torrington, and I was, you've got to go north or south. You know, we are at a crossroads. And then I heard a voice on my radio, because I'd left the door open, and I'd never heard that voice on the radio before, and it's Evan Slack. And Evan's given his noontime deal. You know, I don't live in that part of the country, so I don't get to hear him. But here's Evan. I thought, well, you know, I could hear myself on the radio. And then it dawned on me, no, I won't. I'll be with Evan, so I won't get to hear it. But you know, as I was sitting there and the rest of the drive on over into Torrington, you know, I thought, you know, there's a lot of those communities that I've just gone through that really, really live on what the livestock industry is about. You know, and we owe it to those communities and the ranchers and farmers that make those communities alive to do the best job we can. And some of this stuff that we've been going through embarrasses me to death. We are not doing the best job we can, and we have to rally together and fix that. We've got a host of things to discuss this week. You know, when you get to looking at the beef product that we have to move, when you get to talking about the fact that the sweeping changes that are coming across from D.C. and the packers and stockyards, when you talk about the estate tax that potentially can take most of the farms and ranches I drove through out of business, when you talk about these stalled trade agreements that we can't seem to get Congress to move on, you know, you've got that Ruby pipeline deal from Wyoming to Oregon that's potentially going to be taking, you know, farms and ranches, you know, and taking those cattle off of them, you know, and then we've got legislation on the books to deal with antibiotics and energy, and the EPA has gone nuts. I mean, they want to control everything we do. You know, all the dirt that we walk on, you know, the water that we drink and the air that we breathe, they seem to think that they need to regulate absolutely every aspect of rural life. We've got big, big issues to deal with, and we really owe it, you know, to the communities and the farmers and ranchers to get this thing done and get it done correctly and get it done quickly. I got to Wheatland. That's where my brother-in-law lives, you know, and we'd gone down to Pizza Hut there, and we're hanging out. Then I got a call that I got a deal come across my BlackBerry, you know, that this audit thing had been released, and had been released to, the, you know, everybody. And I thought, well, you know, I had a great idea here all afternoon. I think my week has just changed, because now we're going to focus on something different and something that the industry, you know, will be interested in, but certainly not something that the industry needs to focus on today, because we've got bigger fish to fry. So today I came here and I thought, we got to figure out a way to salvage that, and that's why we're here today. You know, I can do 14 interviews about it, or I can do one. We're going to set the record straight. We're going to get you guys information, because this outfit has always been about transparency and openness, and we want to share with you exactly what this audit's about. And when we get done here, I hope if there's any questions at all, that they're answered for you, and we can move back to those issues that I just mentioned that we can move forward and this meeting will come out here with something other than this audit being the only thing that we talk about. So with that, I'm going to shut up now, and you've heard my speech for the week. You may hear parts of it again because it was pretty good. But let's open this thing up to questions and see what we can answer for you. Yes, sir. No.
What's the schedule there? And then on a very related question, the same thing about the Federation's position in the new governance structure. How are you going to go about trying to resolve the differences over that?
Well, when I headed out here, yes, ma'am. Well, I'm not sure that I can, but if you're going to want me to repeat all the questions, you've got to shorten that up just a little bit. The question that we have is, how are we going to resolve this, the issue here with the CBB? First thing you need to understand, we need to do a little history here. We've done audits for every year in the 14 years that NCBA has been around. We're always doing an audit. We just finished one. I think the last one wrapped up like in September of 2009. We started in on a new one. So we're always doing an audit. That's nothing new. The new part of this one is just the fact that you guys are aware of it. I mean, we've been doing them. We've had results. They've always been out there, and we've continued to do those things, and we can discuss numbers and whatnot like that. But my intention coming in here, I knew that was one of the things. We had an officers' meeting that was scheduled for yesterday with the CBB, and I expected that we would sit down across the table and we'd go through this audit point by point with the officers. That didn't happen. Because you guys all have seen it, and we will resolve every one of these questions. You know, where we need to do something, where it needs to balance the books, we'll do that. But that's exactly the way we've always done it before. I mean, for the last 20 years, even before NCBA, back in the NCA days, everybody just got together, sat down, and you write the books and make it right. So this is nothing new, just standard part of business. If you do audits, they're tools. They're tools to make the checkoff and the firewall stronger. And every time you do one, you have some lessons that you learn how we could make it better. We made changes from the last one that we did that helped to make it, and we continue to do that. It's a work in progress, and it always will be. Well, if they want us to, I don't know that I'm on the agenda. But that's totally up to them. We'd certainly come and talk to them if they wanted us to. Sure.
Well, I don't see where telling us this. I mean, we can report this. Mm-hmm.
Of course, you want to talk to that from the staff.
You bet, Rod. The very first thing to keep in mind is that we just received this final report on Monday evening. Okay, we received the draft report on July the 13th, I believe, just a few days ago. And so, whenever we received the draft report, we signed a non-disclosure, a confidentiality agreement that prohibited anyone from talking about any of the findings. So what we had is just about three staff members in the officer team that went to work for a whole number of hours to focus on point by point by point. We provided that information to Clifton Gunderson, who is the third-party audit firm, who is also CBB's accounting firm that they work with on a regular basis. We provided that information to them. When we received the final report is the same time that you received the final report. So when you take that and put it into context, what our next steps are is, first, what you received here this morning is a point-by-point way that we have addressed every item within the final report. Our focus is on the final report issued from Clifton Gunderson. Okay? And so that information that we've just provided you in the Q&A to help describe where there are findings, how we will address them. Where there are areas that are considered unable to determine, here is the additional clarification around that. So that's the first part of just a little bit of the context of where we stand today. Now, our next steps, our focus is to make sure that as you look at that report, what you can see is a very evident issue, and that is that we have very unclear guidelines about what and how checkoff funds can and cannot be used. We have worked with CBB and USDA and the Federation of State Beef Councils to provide additional information, to provide comments on what is now being drafted as additional guidelines for checkoff funds. That is across the board within USDA. We have worked together to provide comments for that. Those draft guidelines are being considered right now and will be coming forward to the industry in the near term. So our focus is threefold. We want to make sure that we are providing very open input into that process. Once those guidelines are published, we want to make sure we're taking them and working with CBB to apply them to the beef checkoff program. And we will be working with other subcontractors like USMEF, ANCW, and we would encourage every contractor to be involved in that process so that we can really get an understanding of how we implement those guidelines. And then once we understand those guidelines and how we need to use them every day, we want to make sure, as Steve said, we've got the learnings from this particular compliance review, and we're able to apply them and make changes to any policies or procedures that would be germane to the new guidelines. And we want to make sure that, Rod, where there are areas where there have been findings, we want to make sure that we address them. We want to make sure we acknowledge where we have made mistakes. But we also want to make sure that we are going forward with a set of guidelines that provides additional specificity so that we make sure that we learn from this and we continue to improve processes and procedures. Yes, sir. Now, Chuck's question, just to clarify for everyone, is that there's been some communication about a potential hearing that would have been alluded to from Senator Grassley. That's correct? Okay. We have heard the same thing. What our focus is on, Chuck, is to make sure that we are providing the correct, accurate information to address any question that has been posed as a result of this Agreed Upon Procedures Review, AUP. That's the technical term for what this specific process was about. So as we focus on that, we do not see that, as Steve alluded to in his opening comments, never in history has there been any type of a compliance review published to the world. Has it been a public document that people could access if they choose to? Yes. I do not understand why it was published to the world. That's neither here nor there. Our focus is to make sure that we get it right. Our focus is to make sure that we provide the appropriate documentation and that we're able to explain each and every point. I don't know that there is any benefit in a hearing. If there is, if that is of benefit to help address this issue, I'll be there tomorrow.
Question, Walt?
The state beef councils are required to provide independent third-party audits every year on their books, and they do that. And those are submitted to the CBB and USDA for review. The CBB also periodically does audits on those state beef councils. They do them. They pick some every year. Every time there's a change in the executive officer, they do a new audit because they want those books to be clean going out and coming in. And so that's a good way that things are kept in check there. Folks, I have a little different perspective on this, kind of a personal one, because I serve on the audit committee, and I've seen these audits before, and I know how they usually are done. audits are completed and you're looking for errors, you're looking for problems or some areas that you can address. And when they do that, normally the way these are handled is the audit firm, well, in fact, this audit firm at the last statement in their report says this document is intended solely for the use of the boards and USDA. Normally then the audit firm would then write a management letter saying these are some issues we've identified. And then the other company would write a response and say these are how we would resolve these, and if there's any monies that need to be changed to get it right, they do that. And then they say, okay, now these are areas we've identified, there are problems, and this is exactly what Forrest was talking about. What can we do now? What do we need to do so we can make sure we have the right standards to meet? I keep thinking, you know, if we're going to say we want you to keep track of your hours, does that mean write it down on a piece of paper, or do we keep it on a card? Do we keep it on a computer? Do we do keep calendar? What do we need? What's the standard that we need to match so that we can make sure we're providing the documentation? And that's what Forrest is alluding to, that every time you do an audit, there is this challenge. What can we do to make our process better? The state beef councils are very comfortable because they comply. We all comply. We all are subject to these reviews. Normally, that's the way that is done, though, with the procedure. This has been done for years. I mean, this is the way it's always been done. I have never seen one released publicly either. And so I'm really surprised and really quite disappointed because there is a language that accountants use that most of us don't understand. Findings are a word that means something. Unable to determine is a totally different thing to an accountant than it is to you and I. You and I can infer if there's a problem there, but to an accountant, that's not what that means. And so I'm disappointed this went public this way. Does that answer your question, sir? Okay.
Can't ask us that question.
So, Rod, just to clarify for the folks on the phone, you're asking, is there anything that we should be suspicious about in terms of the timing of this? Is that a fair way to readdress your question?
It certainly seems like there's a connection.
Rod, there is no way that I can answer your question. That is a question that you should be asking the Cattlemen's Beef Board. The questions that I want us to focus on are, how are we going to make sure that we address any issues within this compliance review? And most importantly, this is what my parents would want me to be doing. And that is to focus on getting it right and to be accountable for how you go about getting it right. That is exactly what we intend to do. That is exactly what this organization and the integrity that's behind it has done every time we've had a review. The most previous or recent review, we implemented a different time coding system that's electronic in nature. Folks, we code over 200,000 hours a year to the checkoff area of work. Total organization is around 300,000 hours. We have over 8,000 project codes that we look at how we allocate use of checkoff funds toward so that we make sure that we get it as detailed as we can. When we look at how we really drill into these findings and the number of hours that we went through this point by point, we have about $115 million of transactions that have come through the checkoff area of work over the period of time that this compliance review was looking at. And when we look at all of these findings, we want to make sure we get everything very accurate. Right now, we're estimating that somewhere around $37,000. When you break that down and you look at the allocation toward checkoff and policy, that net amount is somewhere around $25,000 approximately. So what we've tried to do is make sure that we acknowledge, you bet, here's an area where we need to improve a process, or we just made a human error. We're all humans and we're going to do that. But that does not take away the accountability and the focus on making sure we learn from it and say, okay, now what? We've talked a lot about the what. Some of the questions you're asking around the so what, I can't physically, honestly answer. But the now what, I can answer. And that starts with how we drive forward with a personal, professional, and organizational level of accountability. Those are the values that you've instilled in this organization for many years. Those are the values that every one of your staff members grew up with. The majority of your staff members come from you. They come from the roots of this industry, and I'm no different from that. But I'm going to look this man here right square in the eye, and I'm going to say, you bet, here's where we made a mistake. But you bet, here's where we can improve from that. That's the way it's been since day one, and that's the way it'll be tomorrow.
Let me respond as well. Rod, I'm going to just some historical perspective. You've never seen one of these audits before. The last audit that we did, that was just completed last September, I alluded to it earlier, it was a contentious situation as well. My officers met with the beef board officers in a hotel room. We went over that audit, and we solved the issues that were there. Now, that audit turned out to have $360,000 that was misappropriated. But that audit, the money that was misappropriated, was back to the policy. The policy side had underwritten the checkoff for $360,000. The Federation side, the beef board owed us around $45,000 because it had been stuck in the wrong bucket. And we wrote a few checks, and everybody squared the books. Did you all hear about that? I'm not getting any answers. You draw your own conclusions.
Could I respond as well? Rod, you made a question. You asked a question about in your comment, you said it appears the Cattlemen's Beef Board wants the Federation separated. I'd like to just address that part of this question. We have, over the last 6 months, because of the proposed new governance structure, had quite a few meetings with USDA, with other industry organizations, and with the Cattlemen's Beef Board always included. We've been very open and transparent with these things. We want people to know where we're trying to go and why. And it's been interesting to me to see all these groups have got all this idea about how the Federation should be organized. And interestingly enough, they don't bother to ask the Federation. And I have had to make that comment time and again. You need to ask the state beef councils how they want to be organized, because if you force something on them that they don't like, they don't have to invest. They've got all the options of where to invest their money, and they will exercise that option. They'll spend it somewhere else. It's still within the act and the order, but they don't have to do what you tell them. One of the things we're going to come out of this conference with this year, this meeting right now, this summer, is our Federation is going to take a stand. They're going to publicly state where they want to be. Do they want to still be associated with NCBA? They're going to decide. Do they want to be separate? They're going to decide. And they're going to be the ones that make that decision, because it is their organization. They represent cattle producers from all across this country, and from every segment, and from every political group and every organization you can think of are sitting on our state beef councils. We have over 650 producers sitting on those beef councils that represent producers across the country, and they will make the decision as to where this federation will be and how it will be structured.
I'm sorry. When will we know what the federation's decision is? Is that going to be announced like at the board meeting?
Sure. The reason we're going to have a federation. Oh, the question is, when will we know what the Federation wants to do? When will it be announced? We're going to have a Federation forum tomorrow, and we're going to discuss that because of the bylaws. We cannot take action until it's in front of the entire board, because that's the way we're organized. So the formal action will take place on Saturday during our board meeting. And so it'll be right out there in the open for everybody to see and hear. Okay?
Rod, I'm not. I can't tell you that Rod's question was, will the governance structure come up next year at the annual meeting? I can't tell you that right now. I think we need to, you know, take this time out pretty serious and make sure that we've got some everybody's head in the right direction. I think that's the most expedient thing to do. That's one of the reasons we backed it out. Anybody else?
Do we have any questions from the folks on the phones?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press star then the number one on your telephone keypad. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the pound key. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before entering your request. One moment while I get your first question. It's from Stuart Don.
Good morning. Stuart Don with AgriPulse. For either Forrest or Steve, does NCBA dispute or have a problem or disagree, I reckon is the proper word, with CBB's characterization that based on the results of this compliance review, the NCBA breached the financial firewall?
Stuart, this is Forrest, and I'll take a crack at addressing your question. Our focus from day one has been on the independent third-party accounting.
The fire department has been notified and
I'm sorry. Hold on, Stuart.
Okay. I have a follow-up afterwards.
We've got a fire alarm going off here in the hotel. Okay, Stuart. Okay, Stuart, I'm going to jump in here before I get another voice recording on top of me. Okay. The question that Stuart posed, I think, before the fire alarm interruption would address the CBB executive summary from the report. Our focus from day one and our focus going forward will continue to be on the third-party independent auditor's report. That final report does not suggest any of those comments that are outlined in the CBB executive summary. You have seen the report. It states exactly what the findings are, and it states what are the unable to determine in a very factual way. What we are focusing on is if there are any inaccuracies or any additional areas of information that can be provided against that final report. You know as well as I and everyone in this room and everyone on this phone that NCBA, whether it is a member of our leadership or a member of our staff, would never, never intentionally breach the financial firewall. The checkoff is one of the core values of this organization, and all of the policies and procedures and all of the financial accounting actions all of the financial accounting methodologies that have been put in place have put in place with very, very great care. So again, our focus will be on making sure that we walk through this point by point and make sure, most importantly, that we look at guidelines that will enable us to make sure we have the appropriate guidelines in the future. That level of specificity, that level of detail is where our focus is.
Time for a follow-up.
Stuart, go ahead.
All right. You talked earlier about the need for additional guidelines and guidance from CBB about what can be charged to checkoff accounts and what cannot. Was it unclear to NCBA what was kosher to be charged off to checkoff accounts when it came to travel of employees and spouses and families?
No, it is very clear to NCBA. NCBA has policies in place about each of those issues. NCBA also has worked with the Cattlemen's Beef Board when you look at overhead allocation of cost. That is a process that is very detailed in nature. It's a process we review every year. And, Stuart, the other thing is that's a process that the allocation methodology is approved by the Cattlemen's Beef Board. So when we work against those approved policies and procedures that we have in place right now, we feel that every piece of information that's been provided is very adequate. We feel that every area that we have asked for additional clarity on or that we have challenged as not a finding or that it is able to be resolved, that there is adequate, more than adequate documentation to support that. So we feel that we have addressed those issues in a very transparent and a very objective way.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions from the phone line?
Yes. Your next question comes from the line of Tony Purcell.
Good morning, gentlemen. You've mentioned on several occasions that the main difference between this audit and previous audits was that it was released to the media and the public. I'd like someone to talk about, since you did have a confidentiality agreement, who released it, how it came to be released, and if you know why.
Let me explain the confidentiality. Whenever we received the draft report, I was asked to sign a non-disclosure agreement. This was a very one-way focused non-disclosure agreement that would protect the interest of the Cattlemen's Beef Board. It was not about anything other than that. It was basically a very tight non-disclosure agreement that I signed on behalf of NCBA that ensured that NCBA, any of our employees, any of our elected leaders, would not discuss any of the findings until such time that there was a final report released. Once the final report was released, we would have the freedom, if you will, to talk about anything within the draft report. We discussed that very openly with the third-party audit firm, NCBB. We provided additional clarification, and then we received the final report as well as that executive summary and the media statement at the same time that you did.
So going back to the other two parts of the question, who released it, and if you know, why?
I have no idea how to answer your question, but what I can say is that I had a lot of calls, members of our staff, members of our volunteer leadership, from the time that we received the draft report until the time we received the final report. We had numerous calls asking about questions on the draft report. We had numerous calls asking even specific questions about what was in the draft report, and we chose not to respond because we had a non-disclosure agreement that we felt we needed to honor. That is our integrity. Why anybody would have even thought about talking about that, I have no idea how to address that other than to say this was our level of accountability and that's where our focus was. In terms of the latter part of your question and why that the final report was released to the media, I honestly cannot answer that question. I would ask you to ask the Cattlemen's Beef Board to address that.
As a reminder, to register for a question, please press star, then the number one now.
Are there any further questions from the phone lines?
There are no further questions at this time, and I'd like to turn the call back over. Oh, we do have one question that came in the queue, a follow-up from Stuart Don.
Yes, this would be for Scott George, I suppose. I have seen a copy of a letter that was sent to you in the past day from five groups that you had written to asking for their positions on the latest positions on the Governance Task Force plan. And in that note to you, they indicated that this audit compliance review report that had come out earlier in the week, that they felt that because of that, my interpretation here, that they really could not give you a clear answer as to what their position was on the Governance Task Force report. Does this audit finding, I suppose the question would be, make it pretty clear that those groups will not be in favor of throwing their support or giving you their support for the Governance Task Force proposal?
Oh, you've got a good source because I just got that email last night. what I had done, folks, because of the concern about the Federation, we've met with these groups in Washington. I wrote a simple request to each one of them and asked them if we had addressed their concerns as far as the independence of the Federation, because I wanted to present their understanding and their concerns to the Federation as we go through our deliberation about where we want to be. We wanted our Federation members to know where other organizations and industry groups are standing. They did express concern about this audit. And this audit obviously needs to be resolved. I'm not going to say that they're going to say, no, we're not going to support you because of this audit. This is an audit. It's something that needs to be taken care of. One of the really tragic things to me about going public with an audit is that every contractor has a responsibility to maintain the firewall. We submit those invoices, and the Cattlemen's Beef Board has the responsibility to ensure that those invoices are correct. And I'm confused because, quite honestly, they've reviewed those and they've paid them. And so it looks to me like I'm just a farm boy. It looks like we all end up with mud on our face as to whether or not this firewall has been breached. And so I'm disappointed in that. But to categorically state that all these organizations are going to say, no, we can't support this because of this audit, I don't think that's accurate at all. In fact, I have another email from one of the other organizations that expressed concern about the audit, but he also expressed that he's getting very comfortable with the changes that we had made to our proposed structure. Once again, though, that proposed structure is on hold at this point, but the Federation is going to have to definitely stand up and say, this is where we want to be. Does that answer your question, sir?
Yes, thank you very much. And by the way, I did not see that letter before you did.
Oh, okay. I wasn't even accusing you. Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I would now like to turn the call back to you.
Walt, did you have an additional question here?
Yeah, it may be better for CBB, but they are caps on administrative expenses, 5% of revenue. Oversight could be expensive. I mean, there has to be some trust imparted somewhere with our contractors so that they don't go over that 5%. Is there a chance that they're going to go over that 5% or do so much oversight that they're in danger of going over the cap?
Walt, I think your question and the comment that you posed before your question about the administrative oversight and how that's built into the act and the order is a very fair question for you to ask the Cattlemen's Beef Board. What I can tell you is that in the 18 months that I've been here, I've learned a lot about, okay, how was the act and the order developed? Why? What were the reasons behind certain provisions? This program was developed by producers for producers. It was developed with that intent in mind that allowed the appropriate level of oversight. That's why the administrative cap was put in. Where that stands, I don't have any idea, and that's not my area of accountability. I've got some other things that we're zeroed in and that we're focused on. So I would suggest that you address that question with them. But what I would also offer is that there has to be a balance when we have a producer program that is built by producers and for producers to focus on demand-building efforts. And the level of government oversight or the level of government involvement, that's for you people to decide. That's for you people as producers to decide how much is adequate. That's not for me to decide. And that is something that this industry is going to have to address as we continue to move forward. What I would close with is that a lot of people have asked, okay, guys, you've had a pretty tough start to a week. And that's just being totally transparent in their question, and I think it's a fair question. And I would give you that we as a team, whether it's our staff or members of our leadership, we got a pretty heavy heart right now. I think you're going to see a lot of a sense of accountability, a strong sense of confidence, and a strong sense, most importantly, of optimism. And here's why. Folks, we've got an opportunity between now and 2040 to see the global population grow from 6-point-some-odd billion to 9-point-some-odd billion. It's going to require 70% more production of food to feed this world. We're sitting here on a cow herd that's the smallest cow herd since, I believe, 1963, and not a lot of signals that would suggest that this cow herd is going to expand anytime soon. We're sitting here on a per capita consumption that has slipped from where it was just 7 to 10 years ago. So what I'm saying is that we could look at a lot of the issues that we're currently facing in this industry, whether it be Washington, D.C. based or activist based, and if we lose sight of the focus on that, we're going to miss one heck of a rainbow of opportunity. And that rainbow of opportunity is going to be for my children and for your children for the next several decades to take an opportunity to see this industry grow like it's not grown since the 1950s. So our focus as a team is to make sure that we are mining everything that we can on the home front here. We're going to do our work to the very best of our ability, but we're not going to take our eye off of the issues that are at hand. If we don't address some of these issues that are in front of us right now, GPSA, animal welfare, environmental related issues, I thought Steve's comment a while ago about you begin to wonder how you're going to be regulated on the dirt you walk on, the water you drink, or the air you breathe was about as best I've ever heard it said. So what we are doing is making sure that we are trying to work with you and with this industry to address these issues. Because if we do that right, I firmly believe with all my heart that in the next 2 or 3 years, those actions that we take are going to set the stage for the next 2, if not 3, decades. Because this opportunity for this country and this infrastructure that we have in the U.S. beef industry to be a big part of feeding this growing global population is absolutely unparalleled. So in the midst of all of these things that we're working through, I don't think I could say this any more sincere. I've never been more optimistic and bullish about the opportunities within American agriculture and especially the U.S. beef industry as what we see right now. Folks, we're living through some very, very trying, challenging, but opportunistic times. We got to make sure that we are focused on what matters for those guys that are out there at the fork of the creek. When I talked to my mom this morning about 5 a.m., that's what she reminded me of.
Just want to say thank you very much for joining us today and for the questions you asked. We do appreciate that. I would remind you that if you would like to have conduct an interview, please go to Director's Row E at 11 o'clock. We've got a time slot there to conduct interviews, or contact Mike Deering or Bethany Shively to set up an interview with either one of the three of these gentlemen or anybody else regarding GPSA, death tax, et cetera, to make sure that we're, again, having the conversations about the issues that truly are going to make a difference as we go through this week. Thanks again for coming.